What's up, everybody? It's another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house. What up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shoot, Soli Soul. I'm a little hungover today, so please introduce what's going on. I am too drunk right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're all working remotely right now. The Salty Show is practicing social distancing. All right, so please don't inject yourself with bleach.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea.
We have to say it for New Yorkers out there. Please stop injecting yourself with bleach. Silver linings with the COVID-19. Apparently, it's killed Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
No official reports.
Hopefully, if we win that one, then we've won. All right. Also, we're going to continue talking about this trampling of freedoms. We have more evidence that this is just getting out of hand, and it's time to open up the country. Let's open it all back up. All right. All that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
SaltyShow.com.
All right, Heidi, welcome back.
Hi.
How's it going?
Going well, how are you?
I'm doing amazing.
So you nailed on my Kim Jong-un.
Oh yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Wow.
Tell us what's going on. Give us
Kim Jong-un.
Where is he at?
I don't know how to name. We've been noticing all of the, what's the movie where the old guy dies and the college kids drag him around town?
This Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's. Yes. Have you seen the memes of Weekend at Bernie's?
No, I have not. Oh no.
Well, that's Joe Biden. Wait, hold on. That's Joe Biden's memes right there. You can't use that for Kim Jong-un. Yeah.
There's no crossover allowed.
There's no crossover because Biden is more Weekend of Bernie than Kim Jong-un. Exactly. He's like a fat panda bear.
Yeah. Speaking of Biden.
Oh, speaking nice segue,
of
Tim.
Panda bear.
So Sunday hosts failed to ask Democrats, potential running mates, about bombshell sex assault claim. Do we have a sex assault claim finally coming out on Biden?
Yeah it's been for a couple weeks now, and
it's been for a few years, and you know it's gone under the rug.
Exactly. It comes up and then it goes away, and then it comes up and then it goes away. Well, apparently it's coming back up again.
Did you guys see did you guys see that there was an interview Larry King on CNN? The girl's mom called in to the show, and she's like, "This is my mom." Yeah, dude. So there's evidence. This goes way back, dude. And they have more evidence, but all the liberal people, you know, celebrities, all of a sudden, you know, I guess we don't believe all women.
Yeah. Yeah, so well, they're hypocrites. What can you say?
So to that point, something else came out with this. That episode in the last 48 hours is no longer can be found on like Google Play and all that, in the archive, like in there. It goes like, I think it was episode 44. No, that was episode 44 or 45. So it goes episode, 43, 44. And then 45, 46, this one's missing now. Like they totally got rid of it. Yeah. That came out today.
Dude.
Yeah. That came up in my, when I was looking at all of this, and it talks about all the different things. And that's one of the things that it mentions is that the Larry King episode featuring Biden's accuser's mother disappears from Google Play category. So it's officially missing.
Wow.
Google's on my shit list. Google's on my shit list because there's a few things.
Suppressing free speech. They're suppressing free speech, man. This is unbelievable.
Absolutely.
So to your point, when we talk about suppression, I don't want to get too far off, but
Go ahead.
You know how, you started off like don't inject yourself with bleach and Lysol and all that.
Yes.
And then one of the other things he said was about injecting UV rays into you, right?
Right.
Somebody who's actually using that as a treatment. No, that's an actual technology. It's a natural way of doing things. And somebody, Mount Sinai, California, actually, it's like they posted a video of somebody doing that treatment. You know, YouTube banned the video, said it violated the community.
Oh, wow.
I'm not surprised. Yep. I'm not surprised.
How do you inject ultraviolet rays?
UV.
It's something light, with UV yeah. light. Yeah, it's a whole thing, and they.
It's not an injection that you like a syringe.
We'll get into it, but
we'll get into it. Okay, I don't want right. to. Yeah, that's one of the things that we'll talk about. Yeah. Go ahead. So, what else?
Kim Jong-un was one of my topics that I was going to talk about because it looks like his sister is taking his place right now while the mystery is where is he? So does this mean it was like a family inside job?
Oh my God! That
No! Hillary got him. Hillary got him. Wow. Hillary got him. So
are we going to say Kim Jong-un did not kill himself?
So this came up last week. Yeah. This was trending last week.
Right.
Yep. CNN came out with a report that he was dead last week, but nothing for the last week. And then all of a sudden, yesterday, it started trending again. And they were saying that, you know, he's in a vegetative state. He might be dead. He might not.
Right.
Then the report came out today saying that, no, South Korea came out and said, no, he's alive. He's been communicating. So nobody knows what the real story is going on with this guy. You know, did he have the heart? Is he in a vegetative state and is he dead? Because people in China, nurses and doctors were freaking flown out there or something like that. But his train showed up in a city. So they're like, oh, yeah, he's dead. Again, this is you're never going to get the real news because, you know, it's
because it's North Korea.
State run. Yeah. Well, it's North Korea. Exactly. Right. So there's some crazy, crazy shit, man. It's crazy. And people are like, oh my God, it's gonna be great if he's dead, but his sister is ruthless. Ruthless. Like she's crazy from what I've read about her.
Yeah. It's gonna be scary. One crazy replacing another one.
Yeah.
Well, and this one's got a period, so this is gonna get worse.
Well, who knows, right? I mean, what happens usually, you know, when there's something like this happens. Look at Venezuela when Hugo Chavez died, right? Maduro took over and basically destabilized because there's people, they have loyalty to, you know, to certain people. And because of the way that the state is controlling the news, you know, there might be rumors going around. The longer they wait, basically, to say what happened and he doesn't come out, the more people are going to be like, oh, is he out of power? Is he no longer God? You know what I mean? Like, because they see him as a, you know. But
the North Koreans.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting development. But like Tim says, his sister is known to be ruthless as well. So it's really not going to, you're changing one authoritarian for another. So
yeah, that whole family.
She's good looking though. She looks really cute though. Not going to lie.
She does. Okay.
I didn't see pictures of her. I just didn't see her.
Well, yeah. I'm just waiting for the videos where they have the people crying in the streets. You know how they're over dramatic. Whoever's not crying the hardest, they end
die.
Up dying. Yeah.
Yeah. AK-47s are real good at making people cry. Just pointing at them.
I feel bad for that doctor though, man. If the doctor, because they said if he died from that surgery, that doctor's probably dead already.
Or at least missing.
Yep.
Suicided.
Poor bastard.
Poor bastard. Suicided.
Anyway.
So, I missed you all the last time, but one of the things that I wanted to mention was I noticed Candace Owens, one of our favorites out there.
Yeah.
She posted that she is looking at running for president.
Ooh. Not president.
In the
2024
election.
I don't think she's running for president.
Old enough? She
might be running for office, not presidency.
Yeah,
not
president.
She's running for something, but not
okay,
not
then
president.
Maybe
yeah.
I misunderstood. Is she's yeah. running for an office position?
Yeah, I don't think she's old enough to be president in 2024.
Yeah, she will. We looked it up. Yeah. She'll just be old enough, but she wants to go into Congress.
Yeah, I think that would be a smarter move for her to go into
a better move.
Yeah.
She definitely will be. She's been very vocal lately.
She's been on one, dude. I don't blame her. She's actually taking the conservative approach, not the not the scared approach. She's taking the true conservative approach on this.
Yep.
She also posted today something about. All right, are you ready for this? I know a lot of our listeners are going to be clawing the fence, so you'll have to decide if you're going to cut it or not. But as of today, her post was: our civilization is going to depend upon a simple, cheap contraceptive to be used in poverty-stricken slums among the most ignorant. There should be national sterilization for those who would die out were the government not feeding them. She took this quote from another person and posted it on Facebook, on Twitter.
Retweeted today. It?
No, she tweeted it. She's the first to tweet it. So it's caused a big uproar. I don't know if you saw it on Twitter.
No, I missed it. Yeah, I haven't been on Twitter much.
It was today.
Yeah, that would, I guess, yeah, that would be controversial.
Yeah. I saw that. I was holy crap.
Look, there's things that you can't say. There's what is that called? You can't attack certain things in society, apparently. And doctors are one of them. I'm going to get into that. So, but go ahead.
Yeah. So that was my other one. I didn't overdo it just because I know you guys. Okay.
So she quoted.
Stuff,
so basically what she did was Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood is the one who said that. So she tweeted her quote, you know, she typed out her quote. So that's all she did. You know, it's not Candace Owens's.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That I'm like, because that's what I wanted to say. Sacred cows in societies. Right. And that's a lot of things are, you know. Yeah, there are. You cannot talk about the women's right to choose, and it's like no. We got to
expose
these
people. The women's right to choose
for what
she's just started. You know, she's always made very bold statements, and she's just getting more and more bold when she pulled that quote from her and typed it out there.
It makes sense for today because you know they're pushing, and you know you see Bill Gates. I don't know if you guys saw Netflix today. They came out with a documentary on COVID, more about COVID. If you guys haven't seen it. Watch it like anything else. They try to be, you know, non-biased, but they always have their slant, man. But anyway, so they're talking about this virus and finding a
vaccine
for it, right? And so that's the push now, right? And what's interesting is again the fact that the guy who said that the world is overpopulated is now pushing for a vaccine. And he said that the way to remedy this overpopulation was through vaccines. So we have to be very skeptical, man, because...
How does a vaccine help with overpopulation?
Sterilization, exactly what she's saying. Exactly what she's saying, right? I mean, and what not she's saying, but what Margaret Sanger was saying about controlling certain things. And look, this is a dangerous path when we, again... try to listen to angels who say they came from heaven to save us from ourselves. No, we got to question this and not be so trusting with, you know. All right. Did you have anything else, Heidi? Because I'm going to get into this.
No, you're good. Go okay. get it.
So let's get into the first topic, which blew up and everybody is mad at Trump. And you see meme after meme of what he said. So Trump came out this week talking about research that shows, as Tim said, that UV light rays can help fight these type of viruses, and how attempts are made at bringing it into the body. There's documentaries that show that, and how the virus gets eradicated also by disinfectants like bleach within seconds. And so he turns to both doctors. He turns to them and says, "Is there any way we can do something like that through injection? You know, and because it eradicates the so look." the president wasn't telling people go and fucking inject yourself with bleach. He wasn't saying that. However, it is a foolish thing to say and it's silly, but it was a question that he was posing. Now, for those who claim that he was saying to, you know, inject yourself, they're lying to you. And look, the fact that in New York, within a day in New York, there were 30 people who attempted to do just that, dude. What is going on
Darwin
in New York, man?
Darwin won.
Yeah, bye. Like, goodbye. Bye. Darwin won. We don't need you. Goodbye. What? Yeah. If you're going to try shit like that, goodbye.
So Biden comes out of his hiding, right? And he decides to, because they have him in hiding. Because
he's Bernie, dude.
Exactly. So Biden comes out and he says, I can't believe that I have to tell people that they shouldn't drink bleach. And my, he probably has to tell his constituents because those are the people who are voting for him, man. Like, Jesus Christ, do not. But oh God, you know, if you have to be told not to do that, please don't listen to the show. You just come on, man.
If you have to be told not to inject or drink bleach, then right. you're too stupid to figure out how to download a podcast.
Right, right. Exactly. Now, so the news media then comes out talking about, you know, the other part of what he Trump said, which is the sunlight, right? And they there was story after story about how UV light is not good and this and that. And but one interesting thing that when I was looking into this is that the body actually is fighting the virus through heat when we develop fever, right? We our body temperature. Yeah. And so that's a form of fighting this thing. So it's even the body itself is doing certain things. So a fever doesn't necessarily mean, oh, my God, a fever is a good thing because it's the body's reaction to fight this virus. Right. So. But let me pull this up here because
the patient we just saw about the heat and the humidity, is it dangerous for you to make people think they would be safe by going outside in the heat, considering that so many people are dying in Florida, considering that this virus has had an outbreak in Singapore, places that are hot and are humid?
Here we go. The new headline is Trump asks people to go outside. That's dangerous. Here we go. Same old group. You ready? I hope people enjoy the sun. And if it has an impact, that's great. I'm just hearing this, not really for the first time. I mean, there's been a rumor that, you know, a very nice rumor that you go outside in the sun or you have heat and it does have an effect on other viruses. But now we get it from one of the great laboratories of the world, I have to say. It covers a lot more territory than just this. This is probably an easy thing, relatively speaking, for you. I would like you to speak to the medical doctors to see if there's any way that you can apply light and heat to cure, you know, if you could. And maybe you can, maybe you can't. Again, I say maybe you can, maybe you can't. I'm not a doctor.
See, and this is one thing that needs to be mentioned. This, again, Trump over and over again says, I'm not a doctor. Maybe it will work, maybe not. Now, if you're taking advice from somebody who's telling you that they're not a doctor, again, you know what I mean? Like, good riddance if drinking that bleach took you. You know what I mean? Like, because, but the news media leaves this part out. They leave this part out only to make him look bad, saying the president suggested the president never suggested it. The president posed a question. Was it a silly question? Yes, maybe it is. I don't know. But he didn't say to do that. And the fact that the news media is, again, it's the narrative that they want to sell. And the question you have to ask yourself, why are they selling this narrative? Right. And we'll get into that.
I don't think it's a silly question. Our whole lives, we were raised and brought up. If you're sick, you right. know, here's your diet that you should kind of take in and utilize. Get fresh air. Open up. I mean, how many times, at least for me growing up, if the house got sick, open up the windows, open up the doors, get the fresh air in, disinfect, clean it out, circulate it. I mean, I don't know about, right. That's how I was raised. That's what I do here. If we get sick. I mean, hell, I had to air the house out, what, twice? Once, fall, winter time, and then again, you know, end of February, beginning of March, when we all got sick here in the house. I opened up all the windows and doors and disinfect the house and then let the fresh air come in and circulate and get the germs out of the air. So I would agree with him.
So I sent you guys a very lengthy video from these doctors in California.
Yep.
I don't know if you had a chance to watch it or whatnot.
I watched it all.
But they
watched it all.
I know you did.
Yeah.
They bring up a very interesting point because they again, you know, they have 46 years of experience between them in, you know, as biomedicine doctors, mm-hmm. biologists, and all that. Yeah. And that's what they were basically saying is that, like, you know, people forget, like, you know, you're being forced in the house, right? The healthy one, right? So everybody now is lowering their immune system because mm-hmm. people, you know, your body needs viruses and mm-hmm. bacteria to help build your immune system, to help fight things like this.
It's
right?
That's what herd immunity is. We talked about it before. That's what herd immunity is.
But when they go into it, and again, the science, like they always say, we're being told to do the opposite. And now... you're lowering your immune system. You're disinfecting everything, right? So basically, you are increasing now mm-hmm. your risk of getting sick from other bacterias and viruses and things like that, right? And this is not me. you know, a guy that, you know, does IT for a living.
Right.
These are certified, you know, doctors for years that deal with patients, do this testing, have studied the numbers. So are they full of shit because they're not Dr. Fauci and, you know, things like that? So they're the way they broke it down. I'll play
that clip of the video for you. But like you said, Tim, one of the things that they mentioned that is very key here, and we've talked about this, is how they say, well, when you disinfect all this stuff, you're also getting rid of good bacteria, good viruses help you fight. You see what I'm saying? Like, and so, but before I go into that, because I will show you the video that Tim actually posted on which is actually a good video that summarizes it. Now, right now, the media is out in full force. They're out in full force to keep this quarantine going as long as they can. And they got caught. They've been caught staging photos with nurses. Supposedly doing counter protests against those that are protesting the lockdown, and I don't know if you saw these videos, but it's evident. Dude, this guy, he's wearing like a mask. Let me show you this first video. And again, this is not this is what people need to look at when the news media is selling you a story. They're saying, well, you know what? All these doctors and all these nurses, they're unified in their request to, this is a lie, because again, like you said, Tim, those doctors that came out, they are not for this quarantining to keep it going. They said, look, initially our response was we would have done the same thing. However, now that we have hard numbers and facts, and to keep the country continue to be locked down, it doesn't make sense because the numbers are very similar to the flu, and we don't, this, their words, that is very similar to the flu, with something that we've been saying all along. Jeremy says it all the time. It's the fucking flu. And here we are believing what the news media tells us. Now look at this disgusting video of the media.
Wait. Oh, you should have showed the original one first.
Just
before he got caught.
Okay. What's this flag say here?
It's so this guy. He's being followed by two camera guys. Look at this. One here, another one here. Professional cameras. Look at these. Two different cameras.
Facebook Live. Don't publish it in your paper. You're a fraud.
And so they published it.
So he walked out in front of the truck for like a second.
A second.
Cameramen everywhere taking pictures of him. And then they walked off. Literally, this whole thing took place in less than 3 seconds. And it was propped up as being a big protest,
spontaneous,
but CNN, but what CNN did was they played that clip of him in front of the car with the guy honking the horn with the opposite narrative of that guy was being aggro, was wanting to run him over,
right?
You know what I mean?
Oh, there you go.
So they were able to filter and get that 3 second clip of the horns honking and him standing in front, not moving.
Fake news.
And they turned it into a 15 second video.
Now,
to show their narrative of
and sue the people in the truck need to turn around and sue CNN, just like was it David Hogue, the Covington High School kid?
Yes,
he got millions of dollars from CNN for them falsifying the footage. They need the people on this Jeep or truck or whatever it is. They need to do the same thing. Turn around and sue CNN for millions until they learn their damn lesson.
Yes.
So what's interesting with this is people forget that we do live in a time where there's the narrative is being recorded and somebody's got raw video that can post it. You know what I'm saying? Like that, somebody had the raw video and posted it, and the right people found that and were able to make it go viral. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To counter what CNN, because CNN gets it first and then boom. And then all of a sudden this comes out, but they've already done so much damage
But then you have organizations like social media organizations like Instagram, Facebook, who then suppress this truth, right? That it's exposing the news media. But one thing, when I look at this video and I see this doctor and they're trying to sell us this narrative. Now we're being told that the hospitals are overwhelmed. Where does this guy find the time to protest? You know, he should be out there saving lives. You see what I'm saying?
He's like an actor.
Exactly. Now here's another one. Again, the news media telling us that nurses are standing unified. This is in Arizona, actually. against the protesters. And you see Karen here, or Nurse Karen, or Laura, I'm gonna call her Karen, who's there.
Everybody's a Karen now.
And the news media, again, is telling us, you know, all these nurses are unified. They're standing against these counter protesters because they're for the health of the country. It's clearly a photo op for this girl. It's clearly, this is not, again, we didn't do this for the flu. So why are people panicking more than they need to? Now, I continue to see these TikTok videos of nurses doing dance routines, even more now. And one of the things I heard this guy say, and it's so true, that they're in a hospital, dude. It's inappropriate, unprofessional to be doing these kind of dance. I showed you guys when they're dancing big booties. And we didn't see this during 9/11, okay? If you would have seen nurses dancing in the hospitals like this, doing TikTok videos of them dancing, it would have been inappropriate. People would have said, what are you doing? Now, this has impacted the economy far worse than what 9/11 did. And so more of a reason for them not to be doing this kind of stuff. And so, look, hospitals are, again, this is what he said, and this is very true. Hospitals are where people die, and they're doing choreographed dances. We were sold a false narrative, and we need to be angry about this for the sake of the country. Hospitals are supposedly overwhelmed, dude. We're being told this, and it's bullshit. Now, I'm not saying that there are hospitals that may be busy, like in New York. However, I'm now seeing stories where the government spend millions of dollars creating temporary places where people were supposed to be seeing, and not, some of these places didn't even see one patient because they were expecting millions of deaths, because that's what this is what the projections showed. We believe Dr. Fauci when he said there's potentially millions. But and then one thing, and I'm going to show this in the video, that these doctors, what they said is, if you look at countries like, for example, Tokyo or the Scandinavian countries, Norway and Sweden, Norway, they locked down, and they have the same demographics, right? They have the same similar, right? Norway and Sweden, they have the same demographics. And so, but here they have the same proportions, right? It's the same numbers. So the lockdown didn't really help. And so I'm going to show that video because this is actually really good. It's short. I like this summary that you posted, Tim, because it is really good. So I'm going to show this video to you guys.
Yeah, Jessica, the doctors say that they have compiled their own data of coronavirus cases here in Kern County and used their research from the cases here to cross-reference them with numbers across the nation and really across the globe. They say that data shows that healthy people don't need to shelter in place anymore. And of course, that's going against what a lot of health experts have been telling us so far.
I say, do we need to still shelter in place? Our answer is emphatically no. Do we need businesses to be shut down? Emphatically no. Do we need to test them and get them back to work? Yes, we do.
Doctors Dan Erickson and Artin Masihi, both co-owners of the 5 accelerated urgent care facilities in Kern County, say they have tested 5,213 patients within the county for the coronavirus. That makes up for over half of all testing done here. They say their data and research qualifies their statement.
Is the flu less dangerous than COVID? Let's look at the death rates. No, it's not. They're similar in prevalence and in death rate. So we are saying that our response now that we know the facts, it's time to get back to work.
The White House Coronavirus Task Force expert Dr. Anthony Fauci says otherwise, with national research showing COVID-19 cases to be over 10 times as lethal than the flu. But Fauci's decades of experience as an immunologist and physician holds no weight in the eyes of Erickson and Masihi.
We're actually seeing the patients. Dr. Fauci hasn't seen a patient for 20 years.
White House health officials have reported more than 800,000 COVID-19 cases with just over 46,000 deaths across the nation. But Erickson says that quarantining is a health hazard in and of itself.
We understand microbiology, we understand immunology, and we want strong immune systems. I don't want to hide in my home, develop a weak immune system, and then come out and get disease.
Reporting the disease, Erickson claims, is being forced onto healthcare professionals.
ER doctors now, my friends that I talk to say, you know, it's interesting, when I'm writing up my death report, I'm being pressured to add COVID. Why is that? Why are we being pressured to add COVID to maybe increase the numbers and make it look a little bit worse than it is? I think so.
According to Erickson, there is something much larger at play here.
This is not about science, and it's not even about COVID. When they use the word safe, if you listen to the word safe, that's about controlling you. So when I talk to all my ER doctors who work in a hospital, no stake in the game, same opinion.
See, that, you see, that's the part of the media. This is I almost didn't post this one because I knew there were certain things that it gave one good narrative, but also didn't. But I didn't have time to go searching.
That's a simple, that's a minor, you know, like you said, that's not what he said. And I watched the whole thing. That's not what he said. You know, because they kept trying to pin them against each other, right? They will, how do you know, this? Dr. Fauci's world renowned. He's this, he's that. How do you know that? And then they come back and say, like, look, he hasn't looked at a patient in 20 years. We're in the front lines, you know? And now, and then one of the things that he said also was, look, the reaction that they took initially, we would have done the same thing. Like I said, that's what they said. However, now we have hard data. Now we have numbers, and it's the
flu.
And
that's what he was saying. Exactly. And that, to me, that makes more sense. When you don't have numbers, it's okay to take this, because you freak out, right? Because he says, you know, every time
it's
in science, when something new comes in, you don't know. And okay. But once you have data, okay, now we can start modeling better. We can start projecting, you know, because that's how they do it with the flu. People forget, like, when they see flu numbers, that they go from 24,000 to, 62 to 100,000 in some cases, right? Mm-hmm. So they never tell you that, oh, yeah, there's a definitive number. It's always a range because it's based on a sample size. If they test 100,000 people and 500 people get it, or 5,000 people out of 100,000, then they base it on, okay, well, in New York, like he says, New York has, 27 million people, whatever the million, based on California. California's got 39.4 million people. If I test 5,000 people and 350 come back with it, from there, I can extrapolate that data, right? Based on these models and how we do it for every other disease, right? Because we can't test everybody. I don't test everybody for the flu. And he even said, we don't test everybody for the flu. He's like, we don't report all those numbers.
Did you hear that question because the media, instead of trying to figure out whether or not what he was saying was accurate, they were just trying to like undermine him. And so, exactly. They were just trying to stump him instead of trying to find answers. And, and he kept saying, look, I'm looking at the numbers here, and the news media, instead of trying to figure out, get facts, they're just trying to, does this fit my narrative? Doesn't fit the narrative, because they want to keep the country closed. And that's their goal, because again, they're able to operate and move their, latest social, what is that? Jesus Christ, why am I out of words?
Agendas.
Social agenda, exactly. That way they can pass their policies by keeping the country scared. And look, I look around, man, and I still see people who are, those doctors, they're sitting there. They're doctors. They study microbiology. These guys have, and they're not wearing a mask. They're not wearing masks.
They pull that out.
And you see the news reporters who are in there in that room? They're all covered. They're all wearing. So the covering, that is the news media instilling fear in people, because here are two doctors. Yep. You know what the doctor said? No. See, you want to expose kids. He said the same thing that I said a couple weeks ago in the episode, when I said, look, kids, when they're not exposed to certain viruses, their immune system won't be able to fight it when they face certain things. And that's what he said. He's like, healthy people who are now being quarantined, their immunity is going to go down. And when they go out and they reopen the country back up, you're going to see a spike in a lot of viruses, because people's immune system within that short period of time, you know what I mean? Like, the immune system, like I said, is very efficient. If it doesn't have to fight something, it'll say, okay, I don't need this anymore. And boom. So when we do the social distancing, the way that we're doing it, not quarantining the actual sick, right? He says we do damage to ourselves and to our immune system. And you're going to see a spike in people going to the hospital. All those people who haven't been going to the hospital because they're scared are holding off certain things, certain illnesses. And then when they open it all back up, and they were talking about, look, there are some hospitals that have closed floors. They have furloughed doctors and nurses because they don't have the people, because people are scared to go visit the doctor. So we have created this problem. And then once we open the country back up, it's going to spike. You're going to see the hospitals will be overwhelmed because people who have held off from going because they're scared, because they bought this narrative, are going to, they're going to be in an influx on the healthcare system.
Yep. And
likely,
you know, and again, in the full length video. So I just want to clarify. So one of the things they do here is they try to say that they're against Dr. Fauci, and that's not the case. The whole context of what they said was, you know, we respect him. The guy's been in, you know, virology for so many years, but he's like, we are on the front lines. So we see different. He hasn't worked on a patient in, you know, over 20 years. So when they say, yeah, it's easy to make decisions in your ivory tower, yeah, they might be taking a little jet, but they're not saying that he's wrong. He's saying his even data modeling. Mm-hmm. He goes, when we got these original numbers, it was based on just nothing. You know, it was based on a projection of, you know, of no data, you know, like in the data from China. And if you throw mm-hmm. that all in there and how New York spiked, you can manipulate, you know, you can, a model can be very deceiving if you put the numbers in a certain way to show a narrative. But once you get the hard numbers that everybody's reporting on around the world, now I could take those numbers and create something and give you that narrative. And that's what I don't understand in all these briefings. This is where I get upset, because in all these presidential briefings and Fauci briefing, you know, why do we never bring that up, saying, hey, in our new forecast, and the reason why the numbers are going down is because of, we're seeing, you know, when you take the numbers and you explain the numbers, don't explain the deaths, because all we keep hearing is about the deaths. We never hear about everybody recovering. You know what I mean? Like, even in those briefings, they never say, hey, by the way, you know, another 10,000 people recovered today. You don't hear about the recovery numbers. You only hear about the death numbers. I don't understand why we can't talk about the recovery, because if you tell people in these briefings that there's so many people recovering, people are going to go, oh shit, I'm going to go outside. You know what I mean? That's why I believe when he says, he goes, this isn't about COVID or science. He goes, there's other reasons why they want everybody to stay, you know, because these guys aren't coming up with their own fabricated numbers. They're using the same modeling that they use for every other disease in the same exact way they do the numbers for the flu.
One important thing that they also did mention was, you know, they're saying, hey, we're supposedly social distancing. We close out these businesses. And he mentioned the same thing that we've all been saying is, so we closed down small businesses, but yet we left Home Depot open. We left, and people aren't social distancing in those places. He said, and you think ordering food, you're social distancing? He says, the virus lives on that wrapper. Somebody touched that wrapper, even wearing gloves. He said, you think you're safe wearing gloves? You put on that virus lives on that glove for, I don't know, for how long, for days. And so you're not really social distancing. The social distancing is not having the impact that we were told that it was going to have. And these are, again, doctors who study this, saying this, and the news media is like, well, how come you guys are the only ones saying, because you know what? And this is the problem that has plagued Fauci since the beginning, which Heidi mentioned, it was he cannot come out and say, you know what, I don't see 2 million people dying, because the second that, you know, you see that amount of death, he's toast. And so we are making rules and passing legislation and doing certain things and wasting a lot of money based on nobody has the balls to say, guys, this is bullshit and we need to open up the country. Nobody has the balls to say it.
I'll say it. We need to open up the second country.
Right. But the problem is, when you go have conversations with, you know, friends, colleagues, whatever, and you bring these things up, they look at you like you're crazy. You know what I mean? Like, you're an asshole because you're not listening to Dr. Fauci. Well, okay, I respect Dr. Fauci's opinion, but I'm not going to discount this guy's opinion, Because if these guys are professionals and they business owners and, you know, they have the credentials and they're explaining the data and how they're coming up with their answers, they're wrong. Are they wrong because they don't agree with Dr. Fauci? Well, they don't have a political agenda. What is their political agenda?
What makes Dr. Fauci right and them wrong?
Because
Dr.
he's the head.
Fauci was numbers based on theories. That's another thing that they said.
Yeah.
That's theoretical data. Right now, we have now the data. Now we have how many people, like Tim said, we've extrapolated all this data that we've gathered, and we're able to say, hey, you know what? Based on the numbers that we have today, we can say that probably this percentage of the population got it, and probably this percentage of the people recovered. And so it looks very similar to the flu, which is something that the show has been saying since the beginning. And yet we shut everything down.
And what I like about this is the other doctor says, we've been studying coronavirus since the 70s. And they go, oh, this is something completely different. And he's like, oh, can I finish?
Yeah.
He's like, let me explain. They were so quick to shut him down when he's like, we've been studying coronavirus because COVID, that's like the medical, but it's coronavirus. Like when you when you have Clorox wipes right on the back. Right. And this was right in the beginning. This is why everybody ran out and bought Clorox wipes. It says right on the label, kills coronavirus. So when they were calling this coronavirus in the beginning, that's why everybody started switching to COVID-19, because it's like, wait a minute, you know,
whoever came up with put the marketing who did that, they foresaw the future, man. They were like,
no, but that's what they called this thing. Coronavirus.
Yeah, I know.
And every year it's just it's a mutation of it, right?
MERS, SARS is a version, iteration of Corona.
So why are we, for some reason, this time it's worse, right? And the guy brings up, he's like, you know, we were in the hospitals for swine flu and Ebola and the H1N1, you know, all these other big viruses. He's like, but we didn't, you know, it was killing people left and right. And it was spread a lot more in our testing, you know, than what this is doing right now. So we didn't shut down.
Part of the reason that they're saying this is different is because it does live on surfaces for 72 hours. It does have a lifespan for 14 days. No, they don't. The other viruses are a couple hours here, a couple hours there. And that's the argument. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm saying that's the argument. So that unknown, I don't disagree with you guys. I don't disagree with you guys.
No, it's good. I didn't say you had your mom.
It's insane and crazy that we've shut down the country like this. It should have never happened, period. It just should have never happened.
Right.
And I strongly feel that way.
What we're then saying is, so then why shut it down?
We shouldn't have. I'm not disagreeing with that part.
Right.
We should have not shut it down. So that I'm not arguing that.
I understand your point with your mom.
This isn't even a personal side of it. I'm not even trying to defend my own personal opinion about how I need my family to do this so I could be around my mom and dad. That's not it either. What I'm saying is this is the scary part for people, right, wrong, or indifferent, is we're being told, which is unusual. This has not happened before. It's got a 14-day life before you start actually getting sick. When you get sick, it's a 30-day you're sick. At some point, you're damn near dying. This is what we're being told. Again, how many people have been personally touched to know if it's real or not? We don't even know that real answer, right? Because somebody who has a heart condition and dies, but they were sick, they're calling it a COVID instead of a heart condition. When in fact, the heart condition, they could have potentially died no matter what it was. But again, going back to what you guys keep saying, the news media and everybody else keep saying, oh, well, it's got a 14-day thing. It stays on surfaces for 72 hours, which I don't recall any virus out there or any deadly thing out there to people who have immune deficiencies could be exposed for 14 days or 72 hours, or that's new. I don't recall those kind of details in any other disease or virus out there. And that's again, does not justify shutting down the country. I had a very long conversation with my dad recently. He was like, are you, we're seriously going to give up our freedoms over an, what if, an unknown? Because that's what we've done. Mm-hmm. That's not okay.
And if you look at the data, and when they bring this up and they go with the testing, if everything is based on a sample size. So if I do 5,000 tests and then have 300 people test positive for it, right? If I have 300 confirmed cases out of 5,000, that's a certain percentage. Now, if I take that certain percentage and times it by the population and, you know, extrapolate the data, which how they come up with projections, they go, more people had this than will ever be tested. More people have already had this. Not that they will have it, that they've had it.
I love how they're testing everybody to get it, and they're going to be getting it, and it's going to be new to them. Again, where are the damn tests that show that you've already had it? Get your ass back out there. Go back to work. You've already had it.
Well, that's what he was saying. Tests?
Where's that?
So they have them, but they're just not producing yet. And that's what he was, and that's what they say in the video. The way they, you know, for people going back to work, he's like, first you got to start with your food chain, right? All the people that are working in food, hey, it's a 3-minute test. You finger poke, you put it right in there, and it'll tell you right there as you go into work, you prick your finger. You know what I mean? But the problem is, all these businesses now have to buy these tests for people to come in.
The businesses should not be buying the tests. We just spent millions and billions of dollars giving these people money. Are you fucking kidding me? Spend that money on these tests instead.
Well, there you go.
The news media, the people that were there asking these guys questions, they were upset because the guys kept comparing it to the flu, how the flu outbreak happens yearly. Every year is a different strain. And so one of the guys asked him a question. He's like, well, you keep saying it's just like the flu. It's like, it's not the flu, right? This guy's asking this question. He's like, wait, hold on. See, even the way he goes, you're saying just the flu. He's like, the flu kills over like 60,000 people a year. So he says, I didn't call it just the flu. You're the one who's saying just the flu. And we're so used to the flu being around that we think that the flu is less, you know, deadly than this virus. And they're the same deadly. And he's like, the flu kills people. This virus kills people at the same rate that the flu does. And we didn't shut the country down. And now, so. Another thing that they kept saying was, you know, why are you against opening the country until it's safe? And you know, they kept asking, and this is a question that they will ask Trump over and over again. You know, we need to keep the country closed until everything is safe. And then, but my question is, what do you mean until it's safe? What is that threshold? Right? What is that? Nobody's dying? Nobody has it? But see, nobody answers that question, and they need to, or else it means never. Because the flu is still around, like Jeremy said the other time. The flu is still around and we live our lives. It's time to open the country back up.
This is always going to be around. No matter what, this winter, this is going to come back. There's no question about this. This is still not going. This is not going anywhere because people are going to get it. Not as many people, right? And the people say, everybody at home, social distancing help. I don't think it has. Because if you look at New York, where the biggest cases are, they locked down that city. They locked down that city. You can't, you can't go outside. None of that. Jersey, same thing. They locked down most confirmed cases and deaths in this country. But if everybody's home, how is everybody it's not adding up. You know what I mean?
You know, one thing that he also mentioned, which should anger everybody, is he says he has friends, people who work in the ER, surgeons. And he said, he's like, they're being told. They're pressured to classify certain deaths that they normally wouldn't have classified as, you know, a flu or something, influenza type disease. But now this time around, they're saying they need to classify COVID, even if this person had, you know, known issues, you know, they were a hard smoker that obviously that's what took them. But just because they had COVID. Now, we believe that this was happening and now we're hearing it from an actual doctor who has friends. Who are being told that that's what they right. So and this should anger people.
Well, you know why they're classifying that way? They get paid more by the government when they classify it has a COVID-19 versus
nothing, exactly.
Didn't get anything when it's a heart attack.
Right. It's a profit motive. There's money to be made.
Hey, well, and it's a narrative, right? Like I told you guys last week. My buddy, detective, guy, you know, somebody died on the train or whatever, the trap, whatever. The death was, he's like, I see the syringe. He's like, they died with the syringe in them. They said, no, mark it as COVID. And he's like, what? Because they didn't want to deal with it. Mark it as COVID. You know, so again, how can you, I can't, when you hear stories like this, maybe if it's, even if it's only one person, okay, one person times how many policemen that have probably ran into something like this where they were told that market is that, you know? So how many of that? Like New York jumped up 3,900 in one day. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, there's new confirmed case. To me, it's not, it's a weird narrative, man. I'm not discounting the severity of this virus. You know what I mean? And we call it a virus because obviously people are recovering. So it's not like one out of three are getting it. And I'm sorry, one out of 10 are getting it. And out of each one of those that get it out of the one in 10, you know, five are dying. You know what I mean? The death rate is not as high. If you did a trial, I want them to start tracking the flu every year with these numbers. So people are fully aware of these numbers every year, because all of a sudden now everybody's a numbers expert. Everybody's all about numbers. And when you bring up the flu numbers, no, it's something, this is completely different. It's not the flu. Okay. If the flu kills 62,000 people and this kills 70,000 people, right? And out of those 70, we don't even know, like, you know, did they have a pre-existing condition that they're saying that it was COVID related? No, it wasn't COVID related. And when people bring up like, oh, well, your parents had it. Yes, they did. My mom, did it almost take my mom? Both of them in the beginning, yeah. But my mom wound up getting pneumonia after the fact. She got over COVID, but her immune system was compromised. So she wound up catching pneumonia. But they would have still marked it if she would have as a COVID. No, she would have gone from pneumonia. You know what I mean? Pneumonia is completely different than COVID, than coronavirus COVID-19. It's pneumonia.
Coronavirus is more than just flu symptoms.
Right.
It's
But they would still mark it because she tested positive. If she would have went, they would have marked it as a COVID-19 death.
Right. But what I'm saying is coronavirus has flu symptoms. It has pneumonia. It has, which is part of the crazy unknown part of this, is that it kills the lungs. It scars the lungs. So if you survive, your lungs are scarred forever. Just like pneumonia, if you get a really bad case of pneumonia where you're hospitalized. But the coronavirus has so many different faces at this point. We don't even know what is real and what is not real anymore. Bottom line is, for the healthy population, which is the majority of the U.S., depending on what you want to consider healthy, right? Let the damn states open back up. The government, the states, everything needs to open back up and let things roll. And those people that are high risk, the elderly or people that are high risk, they have a choice. They can make a decision whether they want to go out with their mask on or whether they want to stay home indoors or whatever it is. Today, you see people before this even started. I could walk in a store on any Saturday or any Sunday or any day of the week for that matter. And I could honestly say I saw at least one or two people wearing a mask.
Yes.
At every store I ever went to before all of this started.
Mm-hmm.
That was their choice. That was their decision, because for whatever reason, they had an open immune system. Immediately after my mom's surgery, she wore a mask every time she went out in public for probably... damn, I bet a good 6 months, because had to protect herself. So open the world back up, please, and let people make that decision on their own. And if people want to drink bleach, great. Thin the fucking population. Yep. If you want to shoot yourself up with whatever it is because you think that's it, fine, great. Thin the population. Wear a mask. Wear gloves. Do whatever it is you're going to do. In the meantime, the economy needs to get back up and running.
Exactly. I'm going to show you guys this video. That is hilarious. So Congress returned to work this week for a short period of time to vote on the next stimulus bill, another whatever $500 billion. We just throw these numbers out there like it's nothing, man. This is a lot of money.
It's like COVID numbers. We just throw it out there. Just keep printing money.
Shit, man. And so they go out and vote on the stimulus bill, and to lecture America, liberals here is what I'm talking about, lecture Americans on the importance of social distancing and wearing masks, all while not social distancing themselves and not even wearing the fucking mask. You see her here? and they all share the same podium, touching the whole. Let me play for you this lunacy.
To address,
why can we not pump COVID right into that room through their AC?
No.
All right,
no.
Here's a
address a coronavirus pandemic, and this is a very important piece of legislation.
No gloves either. And touch the face.
Touching the podium.
Arise in support of this legislation to protect jobs, support small businesses, and save lives.
There is more we must do, not simply for those who are at greater risk, but for all of us who wear masks, not because we don't want to be with one another, but because this pandemic has made us a risk to others, to our neighbors, our friends, our family.
We must make sure that the testing goes into the areas disproportionately affected, like the Black and brown communities.
So I support enthusiastically the rule and as well.
And COVID-19 will undeniably exacerbate this paradigm.
Let's not let this happen again.
So again,
holding his mask in his hand.
Person speaking out there about the importance of social distancing and covering themselves up while not covering themselves up and not social distancing. Again, rules for thee, but not for me.
One of them didn't even have a mask or gloves.
So obviously they're probably getting tested before. You know what I'm saying? No. Odds are they're all probably getting tested before they walk in the door.
They're not practicing what they're preaching. All right. So here's another thing. And that when I saw this, that kind of irritated me. Few Republicans made the arguments on the floor about that's now over $2 trillion. That we've given out in bailouts in the stimulus. Where the fuck are the fiscal conservatives? The biggest government expansion in the quickest amount of time. And no one is yelling, no, stop this madness. If there were no stimulus, right? If we wouldn't have passed any stimulus, the country would have been able to see that this shutdown was not worth it. The economical impact would have been immediate. More people would be out protesting the streets, knocking down Congress, demanding that the country be reopened. Instead, we are going to let future generations feel the impact of our irresponsibility. This is wrong. We're conservatives hiding in our homes like the rest of the country. It's a damn shame, homie. It's a fucking damn shame. Now, here's the irony here. The AOC was the only Democrat to vote against that bill, although she had different reasons, but you know, again, a broken clock, right?
So is right every real, twice a day.
The real reason liberals don't want you to go back to work is, I'm going to let AOC explain her brilliance to us.
When we, have this discussion about going back or reopening, I think a lot of people should just say no. We're not going back to that. We're not going back to working 70-hour weeks just so that we could put food on the table and not even feel any sort of semblance of security in our lives. When we, this discussion about going...
I can't listen to
that. Let's not go back to work because we have to put food on our table. What? Socialism, bro. This is her logic. Yeah, let's not go back to work. Who? Why do we have to work 70 hours a week to put food on the table? Because that's how it works.
So, you know what bothers me? What bothers me? When you look at all the people saying you need to stay inside, people that have jobs are the ones telling people to stay inside and not go to work. Yep. Let me say that again. The ones that are all for everybody staying inside, most of them, all are working. I'm not hearing the millions of people that just got on, had to go on unemployment because they were told to go home. They don't want to go home. They want to go to work because they can make more. They feel, they enjoy what they do. They were told to go home. They didn't have a choice. They didn't have a choice in this. They were told, go home. You don't have a job no more. Collect unemployment. We didn't say to do that. And then when you talk to people, everybody needs to stay in. And, the economy will fix itself at some point. We just got to keep bailing them out. No, it doesn't work that way. And I agree with, the big corporations should not be getting bailouts. A small business was forced to close against their will. At some point, I'm okay with bailing the small businesses out because they didn't fail on their own. They were forced. Okay. But when you get big corporations, right? And they go, and they took a lot of the small business loans. And they go, we need this money to keep things rolling. Wait a minute. I brought this up last week last week and the week before. If you were reporting earnings of, $3 billion in profit, right? I netted $3 billion. That's after all my expenses and paying people. I took home $3 billion, right? For years, I've been recording $1 billion, $2 billion, $3 billion, a lot of these companies. So that's like close, when you start adding it up, that goes pretty quick. Where does all that money go? Where does all that money go? It's sitting in the bank somewhere, right? You're not just getting rid of that profit. Where's all that profit going? Is it going back into the stockholders? I don't know, right? But how do you get a bailout when you say you're profitable in 6 weeks? How does all your profits disappear in 6 weeks?
They're not, because they're not making you show and prove that. So this is something that pisses me off, because I can show, if I take March 1, April 1, and now May 1, if I take those records from March, April, and May 1st of 2019, when I was growing, and compare them to 2020, where I am now being impacted by this, I can show that I am losing year over year for those months. I know a gentleman in another state who openly posts on social media how he has been growing the same months, March 1, April 1. He hasn't shown May 1 yet, obviously, because we're not fully there yet, but he's taken those months and he was boasting on social media to people in his private group about how he is growing in new business alone, not even talking about what his service side is that he's growing. He's growing monthly over $100,000, $200,000 a month. Yet he also went on the same social media platform and boasted about how he got his SBA approved loan that he's going to get forgiven and his grant money that he's going to be forgiven, because when they put this thing out there, it, as long as you can show XYZ, which he can do that, he can move the things to do that. They never talked about where showing that difference between a year over year.
Yeah.
Did you lose it? Did you gain it? Whatever. And that money went to those assholes out there that were fast and have that guy in their pocket to give them more money. He's going to continue to grow. He'll make another extra couple million dollars. He's posting about his brand new fucking Ferrari and his brand new house he's building and all the rest of this. Where do you think he's doing it from? How do you think he's paying for that? In the meantime, there are small business owners out there that can show year over year how they lost because of this. Because I get paid when I go out and work commercial, which they're closed. My small business owners are closed. So I can't work with them right now. My life people, people don't want to spend money on that kind of stuff. They don't see that as a necessity. It's not something they have to have. That's what's happening, is these small business owners that don't need the money went out and applied to get the money.
Yeah.
Because why not?
What happens, it's
being given to them.
What happens, I know you're saying, these businesses, they didn't choose and they were forced to shut down. And that's why we need to bail them out. I don't agree with that, then, because with what money? This money is not growing anywhere. We're putting it to the debt. And who's going to pay for this? Future generations who didn't ask for this. Okay, so this is irresponsible. We're being irresponsible here by doing this. And so then the question is, it's an escape valve. What they've done, the stimulus bill, all this bullshit is escape valve. That way the pressure doesn't build up for people who are going to be angry at their government for what they've done. Right now, you know, you get your little check, you're happy. Okay, move along. That's what we've done. Okay, here's your little, oh, I'm happy now. I got a little, but the government took care of me.
$1,200
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the small business who now is like Heidi says, they're moving numbers around. They're cheating the system. The corruption increases. And so now, you know, we're doing things that sound good, but the results are bad because it's just government expansion. We're being irresponsible with the money.
Yeah.
Future generations are going to have to pay this but okay, we got our check and we're happy. And wrong. This was wrong from the beginning. The wrong way we're handling it. This should not have happened. That's why I say, where are the fiscal conservatives who would needed to be out there saying this is wrong? No, all of them signed up. They're like, yeah. Why? Because we want to have everybody happy at for the decisions that we made, because we looked at an unknown and we took the most drastic measure. Again, it was wrong from the beginning. And there were people who were saying, look, guys, you cannot trust models, data models. They're not these data models have been telling us about the end of the world with climate change. Again, there's going to be a Democrat president one day. And how do we stop him then when we didn't stop Trump from pushing this bullshit? That's what we need to be angry as conservatives.
Oh, I'm not happy about this. And you know why. And I've said this 100,000 times on this show. The only reason, if this was 2021, this is handled completely different. Only reason why it's an election year. It's an election year. You tank the economy. You are leaving a lot of bad. If you don't help, you ain't getting the votes. So if you're telling everybody to stay home, you better bail them out, because those people want that vote back, because that same person that voted for you in 16, because you said, I'm going to make this country great, I'm going to help grow, keep everything in America. And then you tell them, oh, sorry, your business is gone. What are you creating? Angry people. They will just they will vote the complete opposite, because you prove everybody right. You bankrupt Atlantic City. You did this. You're a bad businessman. Blah, 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 blah. Right. Mm-hmm. It winds up fitting the narrative. Unfortunately, this whole thing, I don't care. I know that TDS is by far the worst thing in this country right now, due to the fact that I can have a conversation with a lot of friends, right? If I say, oh, I already know what you're going to say. Okay. But like, you hear the anger in them. I'm pretty sure within the next couple of weeks, I might actually lose friends because I agree differently with them, that I have people in my house, you know, not you guys, but I have people in my house. I am socializing. I am not going being out with every single person in the world, but I'm inviting my friends that I know into my house. I am going to my buddy's restaurant, sitting at the bar, eating my dinner and having a drink. And other people are going in there and eating dinner at the bar, having a drink. I watched three nurses on Friday when I was coming out. They were coming in. Three nurses from the hospital. Scrubs. Everything. Banner. Okay? No masks. No gloves. Sitting at the bar eating. They didn't look scared. They didn't look concerned. They were all hanging out. So, I understand. Everybody has their own things. But I will never tell somebody, if you feel that you want to stay home and social distance, that's fine. But don't look at me like I'm the asshole and the problem. Because if you're basing your stuff off the WHO and the NIH and the CDC and the government, and I'm basing it off other doctors that are taking the same data and giving me a different, why is one right and the other one wrong? Because you agree with this because you feel that these people never lie to you and these people have an agenda. No. Doctors don't want people dying. If you're a doctor and you say, I want people to die, you should not be a doctor. Your job is to save lives. You know what I mean? It is so divided. It's crazy. And when I'm seeing people being called neo-Nazis for protesting to open up the economy to go back to work, blue-collar, white-collar workers are being called neo-Nazis because they are gathering because they want to go back to work. How are they Nazis? How do you even use that word for people that want to go back and provide for their family? I don't get it. I don't understand how anybody can be called a Nazi, a neo-Nazi, for wanting to go back to work. How is that?
Yeah, it's
being a Nazi. But you see where I'm going. I don't get stupidity. I do not get it. And these protests are getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, again, they would have been big from the beginning if no bailout would have been out there, because then people would have felt the impact really quick. And they would have said, stop this bullshit, open this country back up, because I don't see anything happening. I don't see body bags anywhere. Stop. This is stupid.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Let's. This is how I want police officers to behave during this insanity. Instead of, you know, becoming drunk with power and being stupid, this is what how they should be. Dude. Now, these guys, you're going to see this. These guys are out there in their front lawn, obviously not social distancing, drinking. And they have a sign that says, you honk. If you honk, we drink. So look at this.
No, he's not.
So he does a Yui and he honks. So they drink. This is what I want police officers to react. Because yeah, this is, you know what I mean?
Like, your police officers to handle the situation.
Yeah, because, like, you know what I mean? Like, these guys are just having fun with it. He could have basically said, guys, go back inside, you know, social distancing, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. But he just turns around and just gives them a honk, say, drink. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I spent most of the family, I guess, spent most of the morning out in the front yard doing yard work, pulling weeds, trimming bushes, all that kind of stuff. And there was actually a Glendale police officer drove right by the house. You know, he didn't stop. He didn't say anything because we were all out there working. But yeah, it just, why would you stop someone who's in their front yard, whether they're drinking or doing yard work, and tell them to go inside? Get back in your truck and go stop a criminal.
Yeah, exactly. But it's so weird. No, the criminals are being let out. Fucking, you see Avita Derci, that guy's name, he got let out for coronavirus.
There was somebody in New York. I saw that on Twitter. Somebody Michael Avicii was let out because he was scared.
That was the asshole that was part of the whole Stormy Daniels scandal and all that. You know? Now he's let out. Whatever. Michael
Avicii. Great. When the scare's over, is he going back in?
he's probably in a non-extradition.
All right. One more video. And it's Trump being Trump. Hilarious. Because right now Trump is on this whole, he's not answering none of CNN's questions. I don't think he's answered CNN questions for it's been 2 weeks now. He's just completely not taking any of the questions. And here in the latest one, this one cracked me up. Look at him. And just his timing is pretty good.
I know that you continue to say you asked me.
Okay, hold it 1 second. Any other questions from any other people? Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Hey, look, what's his name?
Before I answer that question, does anybody else have anything that I can talk about?
And then he's like, nope, okay, good thing.
This guy, he's savage. Hilarious. I love it.
He is.
Right? Because it's like, look, you're trying to, again, you're trying to play stump the chump. You're not helping. Your job as media is, if I say something, you're trying to fact check, come with the right thing. You know, that's why, like, he stopped doing his briefings on Saturday. He's like, there's no point doing briefings. We're pretty much done. Like, he is just like, fuck it. You know what I mean? He's just like, X, Y, Z. And there's two things I want to add, right? So back to my TDS thing real quick. So I had to laugh because somebody, because you know how everybody loves to, you know, drive on people's lawns and, you know, take out the signs because they hate Trump so much because he's Hitler.
What?
So,
during the election, so, they would stop cars.
So now it's election time. A lot of people have it up again. So you know what people started doing because they got tired of people running over their lawn and taking out their signs? Dude, they put the spikes on it So as soon as they hit it, it blows out your fucking tires. So now you know who it is because they're stuck with the sign in their wheels. Well, here's the deal. If I put it out on public property, that's fine. When you drive up on my lawn and take, you are destroying private property. That is illegal. Good. So when I put something on that I'm putting a stake in because, you know, I don't want people destroying it, it's taking out these cars, man. And you see them stuck on the side of the road with a thing in there. Oh, now they're getting arrested.
That's beautiful.
So I think that's great.
Well, yeah, this should be.
Great.
That's awesome.
Do it.
So there's something I want to end on this for me personally. So again, something about with Donald Trump, right? You know, this guy, he's a busy guy, obviously, right? Everybody thinks he just plays golf and whatnot. And, you know, I didn't save. Shit. Hold on. I took a screenshot.
So while Timmy's looking at that, I heard that I think it's the governor or somebody in Minnesota has filed an official lawsuit against China to be compensated for the costs of all this.
A good. Bunch of Nevada did that too.
Nevada, okay. What do you guys think of that? I think it's great. The whole country.
Yeah.
The whole world
needs
to turn around and sue in China. And the great part is that if we do win, there's like a court of it's like a worldwide court where you can actually bring these kind of lawsuits they become legitimate, basically. Right. And the great thing is we owe China trillions of dollars. So, you know, if we can win this court battle. And justify the fact that we spent trillions of dollars bailing out the economy, all we have to do is wipe that debt clean from China. Guess what, China? We don't have to wait for them to send it to us. We just go, sorry, we don't owe you that money anymore. Bye.
And then World War III breaks
out. You know, I mean, obviously, exactly. Yeah. No, look, here's the deal. I think we should take the approach that Japan is taking. And Japan, what they did, or is it Japan or South Korea? One of those.
Japan took the factories out.
They said they paid their company and said, hey, get them out of China. And that's what, you know, again, I've said this over and over again. If Trump wins on this, because this is what it was, this is that battle. It's that tariff battle that he was having with China. This is where we are. If he wins on this, he wins big. If production comes back to the country, and it's clear and evident that it's going to have to, I don't think, especially medical supplies, you know, they need to put a stop to that. We cannot be buying medical supplies from any other country. That shit needs to be produced here because we just saw when there was a world pandemic, China decided to keep all their products and we were stuck with nothing. And so that's why, again, if he wins on this, he wins big. You wanted to mention something else, Tim?
Yeah. So one of his latest tweets, and this is something really interesting, you know, he tweets out today. He's like, because the media, again, New York Times, somebody wrote a post that he just like, sits in his room and eats fucking hamburgers and drinks Diet Cokes, right? And like he actually doesn't do anything. You know, so he goes on and talks about his work ethic, you know, and he's like, I work from early in the morning until late at night. Haven't left the White House in many months except to launch the hospital ship, to launch Hospital Ship Comfort, which is actually just got rid of the last COVID patient in New York, by the way, in order to take care of trade deals, military, rebuilding, etc. And then I read a phony story from the failing New York Times about my work schedule and eating habits written by a third-rate reporter who knows nothing about me. I will often be in the Oval Office late into the night and read and see that I'm angrily eating a hamburger, which he spelled wrong, and Diet Coke in my bedroom. People with me are always stunned. Anything to demean. When people say things about Donald Trump, and even in that Netflix documentary, this guy's a machine, dude. This guy works. People don't realize when you are a CEO, right? And, you know, now that I actually work, you know, and I know the same with you, Nelson, we work for Fortune 100 companies now. Our CEO is constantly talking to us, right? Through messages about COVID. We have to do our earnings reports and everything. And when I see this guy talking and, you know, My CEO even said, he goes, you know, my idea of work from home, because he was always against work from home, and now he's changed his tune with all this, right? He goes, my idea of work from home was, you know, Saturdays answering emails and making phone calls, right? These CEOs, they work 24/7. It's not like, hey, 5 o'clock, you know, when we go home, we go home, right? These guys are running multi-billion/trillion-dollar companies that are global, that help run the world. You think this guy running the free world, if he didn't understand what it's like to be, see, this is why this has been easy for him. This is why this doesn't look like the guy's aged. You know what I mean? Besides spray tanning and things like that. But this guy, like, when you look at Bush's, Obama's, the Clintons, when you look at every president that has taken this job, they go in looking young and they look like death. They look like they're on their way out. They've aged tenfold, you know, because they can't handle this. Trump is this guy, the art of the deal. This guy's always been this way. You don't become a billionaire mogul by sitting on your ass. Yeah, you just because you got money from your dad, you might have had some issues in Atlantic City. You, out of anybody I know, he shot a shot in life. You know, I go to work every day. I didn't shoot my shot. Doing the show, we're trying to make something. We're shooting our shot. The odds of success, we don't know. We don't know. We got to push it, right? But we're doing something about it. We get tired of reading everything and seeing everything, so we're talking about it, and people are actually listening. You know, mm-hmm. We are getting to people, right? Mm-hmm. Viewership is up, by the way. But when you never take a shot and you've never hired anybody or contributed, you know, even down to, you know, I'm going on a little bit of a rant, which you can cut out. I look at a lot of people that I, you know, that I've talked to. They have their opinions. But when you ask them, like, hey, have you ever even volunteered? No. Have you donated? No. Well, how do you know anything that's going on? You've never given back. You've never given back. When you say, oh, I pay tax, no, you're not giving back because you pay taxes. You know, we've worked at that program, you know, the Big Brother, you know, that mentoring program at work. We've all done the crane initiatives. We've all done 5K runs for things with work, you know, because our jobs have allowed us to do this. So we take advantage of it. A lot of people don't even do that. And they tell you, oh, you know, I care about all this, but they don't want to help. They don't even want to donate their time. They find every reason why not to donate their time.
Yeah, it's easy to say you want to help, but difficult to actually help.
No, but you know, you made a point there, Tim, and that's true. Because what happens is people are like, oh, yeah, I'm helping. How are you helping? Through my taxes. And this is the problem, right? This is how people feel like they're helping. Oh, well, you know what I mean? There's the government. The government's going to take care of it and do it. I've told you guys a story about this girl that I dated, and her father, a millionaire. She was without work, and one day I'm driving, going somewhere. He's like, hey, can you drop me off at the DES later? And I was, you know, the Department of Economic Security. She wanted to get, you know, government assistance, you know, food stamps and stuff. And I was like, why? And she's like, well, because, you know, I, you know, I'm not making enough to, and I'm like, yeah, but your dad, why? Your dad can help you. I was like, well, my dad wants me to fend for myself. Yeah, but you're not. And she's like, my dad was the one who told me to do this. You see what I'm saying? Like where he could have very well helped her.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like the mentality that there is, it's like, well, why am I going to waste my money when there's a government who can do it? You see what I'm saying? And this is what happens. Government creates people who are not as compassionate because guess what? Well, there's a government who's going to take care of it. Go talk. And the bigger, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so that's, you know, your point is valid, Tim. Some people feel that, oh, I'm being generous because I give taxes. Oh, okay. All right. Well, help those who are closest to you, you know? And maybe if a lot of people did that, we wouldn't have this, you know, big welfare system. Anyways, let's move on. Do you got any crazy chronicles for us?
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Arkansas.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Name the state. You have to hear the story first.
Yeah. Cheating.
Say it.
Snake removed from inside family's toilet.
That sounds like Arkansas.
Wow. Florida. Size of this.
Like Florida.
God, that's gonna be great. Yeah, Timmy, keep going.
Timmy is keeping with Arkansas. Nelson went with what'd you say, Florida?
Florida. Okay, so what if I told you to guess the country?
Oh,
Australia.
I got you. I beat it.
Yeah, it's Australia or India.
New Zealand.
England.
Wow. Wait, was it a real snake or was it a big shit that looked like a snake?
Tell me.
That's a real snake, man.
Freaking huge ass snake.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, that's got to be, what, 7
Share
8
your
feet?
Screen. You know you can Easily. Share your screen, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I can.
Technology, Heidi, is a wonderful thing.
Oh, shut up.
Well, she doesn't want you to see that it's from England, though. She wants you to guess.
Well, so. We already did it.
But after she tells the story, she can share it.
Look, it's not letting me click. Get
just
it
click share.
You're broken.
Anyway.
Her Zoom's yours. Broken.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, here it is. Never mind. Sorry.
We got to have a tutorial on there how to use go. Zoom before we...
if we can no. I do know, believe it or not, I do know how to use Zoom.
Why are you asking questions, though?
There it is. Look at the size of that snake.
Wait, hold on.
There it is.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. That's a big one.
It doesn't look like it's real big, like diameter wise, but it looks like it's long. Like, you know,
how the hell
long.
Did it get into the tank?
It looks like it might have been one of those like domesticated.
Yeah.
And then somebody, it got out.
But you realize to get into a toilet tank, you have to lift it up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
in the I don't think it's in the tank. I think it just came up from the sewer,
the sewage into the toilet.
Yeah.
Oh it no! Probably, from a so pulling out of the toilet tank.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
So I mean, did it go all? I mean, that's impressive. If it went all the way through the sewer system to this guy's thing, you know what I'm saying?
I guess you could.
Yeah,
you
could, it still could get you, into the tank.
Because, I mean, when it flushes, it comes out those little holes in the side and goes, I guess it would depend on the design of the toilet. But, yeah, wow, that's...
It is in England, so let's give it that, because the toilets are maybe different.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Could be a well. Because it happens here in the U.S. too, in, like, Florida and stuff like that, where people have gotten into the shitter, they've opened up their toilet, and there's a rattlesnake in there.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but that's inside the bowl. Like you said, this says it's in the tank, which is different than the bowl. Yeah, that is weird.
I'm sure if you read it, it'll tell you, but whatever. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
What's your next one, Heidi?
Dog breaks record with...
Don't share the screen.
Dog breaks record with a litter of 21 puppies.
Australian.
Wow.
You son of a bitch. Did you see in the screen?
Because your screen is shared, Heidi.
Yeah.
She knows how to use Zoom.
The top Australian.
Oh, shut up. Wow. Look at that. Holy shit. 21 puppies.
That poor...
Will they take it to the vet or something for that? Look, it looks like there's
a
vet.
Oh, for sure. There had to be.
That poor female.
21.
It was a Mastiff. Those damn dogs. Look how big these damn dogs are. Mastiffs are huge. 21 puppies.
Did they show her when she was...
I don't want to see that. That's gross.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What? Here's a video. Let's see.
It was big.
20.
That's a big bitch.
Oh, there it is.
So do you think like in a litter that size, do they have more than one runt? Because there's always like the runt of the litter, looked, right?
Yeah. I doubt it. Oh.
Hey, don't make fun of the runt of the litter.
Getting a little close to home there, Timmy?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Which is funny because he's bigger than all of them now. Except for his brother.
We'll leave it there then. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Give us a follow, hit that like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all on the flip side. Adios.
Guten Tag.
Bye.
Peace.